They call her the Queen of Climbers. You may know her by her botanical name, Clematis, a flowering vine that's been turning heads since the early 1800s with her romantic, voluptuous charm. One of the country's leading clematis collectors lives outside Portland, Oregon. He's worked there in relative obscurity for 3 decades, now in his 80s and with his sight fading. NPR's Ketzel Levine found out he's anxious to secure a future for his plants.
A tender clematis vine living in a greenhouse is at the mercy of its owner. One hot day without water and it's toast. But to be a clematis in the care of Brewster Rogerson, who begins every day in his greenhouse with a hose and a hello.
This is a wonderful species called William's Eye from Japan. I haven't got it into flower yet, but that'll come next year.
Very elegant foliage, very long tapered fingers on the leaves.
And this one, Lord knows what this is. This is a species that came from China under a name that nobody in the clematis fraternity knows at all.
Having a clematis that rare is sort of the horticultural equivalent of scoring a Matisse no one's ever seen before.
And now we're done.
But it's a coup you'd expect from Brewster Rogerson, whose collection of fantastical flowers is invariably ahead of the trade. Blousy pink pinwheels from Estonia, nodding yellow lanterns from China, puckered red lips from Texas, and giant pastel flakes from Japan.
Like this one up in front here, this beautiful blue Fuji Musume. That is as good a blue as you're going to find in a hybrid clematis. It worked and worked and worked on the blues. We've had over a century of work on the blues to get them to be blue and not just lavender blue. It's really a handsome clematis.
Fuji Musume isn't just handsome, it's pretty much drop-dead gorgeous. But hyperbole doesn't suit this courtly clematarian. He is a scholar by trade. Professor Rogerson retired from Kansas State University in 1981. His field was English literature, the poetry of John Milton, his abiding love. Clematis nudged its way in slowly but steadily. A few dozen became a few hundred. A fancy became a calling. Brewster Rogerson, vice president of the International Clematis Society, guardian of some 900 opinionated vines.
They have their ways. They watch the temperature, they watch the light, they decide what to do. And so your season of bloom will vary, the size will vary, and more than anything else, the colors will vary.
They can be little heartbreakers, too.
Oh, yeah. They can be mean.
Clematis have eluded more than a few gardeners, particularly when the vines are young. They're heavy feeders, demand good drainage, and hate to dry out. These days, for entirely different reasons, they've been eluding Brewster Rogerson, too.
Do you see a little purple bell in here?
I do. It's to the right and to the back.
Oh, here we go. There's one.
He couldn't find it because he couldn't see it. Brewster Rogerson has macular degeneration. He has peripheral vision only in his dominant eye. The other can go any time. Consequently, he's made a decision. His clematis need a new home. He'd like the collection to go public, but once out of his care, he worries it could also go to ruin.
Everyone that I know about, every collection of this sort that has been given to an institution has been gutted within 3 years. People simply don't know enough, though they have the best will in the world. And you can't learn enough in 3 years. So I'm looking, you see, for a place where I can confidently leave it.
He's unlikely to find a more plant-mad American city than Portland. Here it is, 7:30 on a weekday morning, and this conference room is full as members of the horticultural community come to brainstorm about the future of Brewster Rogerson's collection.
Just a minute. There is something I'd like to interject here before we go into the particular plans.
At this point, the reticent octogenarian hands out a memo.
This has to do with the fact that I might become blind and also that there is a terminal date by which I will have to decide what to do.
This is not the first public meeting on this subject, nor will it be the last. People are committed to this collection for a very simple reason. There is simply nothing like it in the Western Hematisphere. So says clematis expert Mary Toomey, co-author of a highly touted encyclopedia of the genus. While the world is full of clematis collectors, she says, most focus on a particular type. Large-flowered, small-flowered, single- or double-flowered, evergreen, even clematis that don't vine. But Brewster Rogerson's collection reflects a much wider passion. Mary Toomey got her first glimpse of it last year.
I stood there on a hot summer day, and I said, wow, this is something I haven't seen. It's not only the collection in that glass house, but the meticulous manner or way in which Brewster had tended them, Brewster has looked after them. One could feel that not just the collection, but the rhythm, the drama, the movement of seeing all of this under one roof. That is the uniqueness of the collection.
Untold thousands of tendrils and leaves have passed through Brewster Rogerson's fingers.
As you can see, these plants here have finished their bloom, and I've got to cut them back.
His proficiency is the result of 30 years' observation and a still, tender touch.
Every now and then you get to a place where they are so entangled that the only thing you can do is sacrifice something, and then you have to decide what it's going to be.
What's the longest that you've coddled a clematis waiting for it to bloom?
Probably about 4 years.
That's patience.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it's not doing anything but it's healthy, you figure, wait and see.
Here, then, are his options. Find a plant-loving Medici to ensure the future of the collection and endow it to a public garden. Find a few other clematis collectors and split it up among them. Or sell the whole thing off plant by plant, certainly a loss to horticulture. But Brewster Rogerson would just as soon skip the eulogy and perhaps assign this reading from Milton's Paradise Lost: good, the more communicated, more abundant grows. For NPR News, I'm Ketza Levine.
The puckered red lips from Brewster Rogerson's collection can be seen at Ketzel's website, Talking Plants. The address, npr.org.